Erickson and his colleagues then compared amateur pianists with professional pianists. The same pattern emerged. The amateurs never practiced more than about 3 hours a week over the course of their childhood, and by the age of 20 had totaled 2,000 hours of practice. The professionals, on the other hand, steadily increased their practice time every year until by the age of 20 they had reached 10,000 hours. The thing about Erickson's study is that he and his colleagues couldn't find any naturals, musicians who floated effortlessly to the top while practicing a fraction of the time their peers did. Nor could they find any grinds, people who worked harder than everyone else yet just didn't have what it takes to break into the top ranks. Their research suggested that once you have enough ability to get into a top music school, the thing that distinguishes one performer from another is how hard he or she works. That's it. And what's more, the people at the very top don't just work much harder than everyone else, they work much, much harder. This idea that excellence at a complex task requires a critical minimum level of practice surfaces again and again in studies of expertise. In fact, researchers have settled on what they believe is the magic number for true expertise, 10,000 hours. The emerging picture from such studies is that 10,000 hours of practice is required to achieve the level of mastery associated with being a world-class expert in anything, writes the neurologist Daniel Levitan. In study after study of composers, basketball players, fiction writers, ice skaters, concert pianists, chess players, master criminals, and what have you, this number comes up again and again. 10,000 hours is equivalent to roughly 3 hours a day or 20 hours a week of practice over 10 years. Of course, this doesn't address why some people get more out of their practice sessions than others, but no one has yet found a case in which true world-class expertise was accomplished in less time. It seems that it takes the brain this long to assimilate all that it needs to know to achieve true mastery. This is true even of people we think of as prodigies. Mozart, for example, famously started writing music at 6. But, according to the psychologist Michael Howe in his book Genius Explained, by the standards of mature composers, Mozart's early works are not outstanding. The earliest pieces were probably written down by his father and perhaps improved in the process. Many of Wolfgang's childhood compositions, such as the first 7 of his concertos for piano and orchestra, are largely arrangements of works by other composers. Of those concertos that only contain music original to Mozart, the earliest that is now regarded as a masterwork, number 9, K-271, was not composed until he was 21. By that time, Mozart had already been composing concertos for 10 years. The music critic Harold Schoenberg goes further. Mozart, he argues, actually developed late, since he didn't produce his greatest work until he had been composing for over 20 years. To become a chess grandmaster also seems to take about 10 years. Only the legendary Bobby Fischer got to that elite level in less than that time. It took him 9 years. And what's 10 years? Well, it's roughly how long it takes to put in 10,000 hours of hard practice. 10,000 hours is the magic number of greatness. Here is the explanation for what was so puzzling about the rosters of the Czech and Canadian national sports teams. There was virtually no one on those teams born after September 1st, which doesn't seem to make any sense. You'd think that there should be a fair number of Czech hockey or soccer prodigies born late in the year who are so talented that they eventually make their way into the top tier as young adults. But to Erickson and those who argue against the primacy of talent, that isn't surprising at all.